Lind was then a 20-year-old white middle-class American citizen from Marin County, California, who had converted to Islam, gone to Yemen and Pakistan to study religious texts and Arabic, and traveled to Afghanistan in August 2001, barely a month before the 9/11 attacks. The CIA found him badly wounded in a prison of one of the Northern Alliance warlords, our allies in the war against the Taliban. His American captors stripped and humiliated him, denied him medical treatment, and tortured him for information about the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden. According to Richard A. Serrano of the Los Angeles Times, who was shown secret military documents detailing the treatment of Lind, he was being questioned while he was propped up naked and tied to a stretcher in interrogation sessions that went on for days. Attorney General John Ashcroft threatened to try Lind as a traitor, but in the end settled for a guilty plea on charges of aiding the Taliban and a 20-year sentence, rather than let Lind's lawyers seek testimony from captives held at Guantanamo about his torture. As part of his plea bargain, Lind was forced to sign a statement saying, "The defendant agrees that this agreement puts to rest his claims of mistreatment by the United States military, and all claims of mistreatment are withdrawn. The defendant acknowledges that he was not intentionally mistreated by the U.S. military." As journalist Dave Lindorf observes, Lind remains almost certainly wrongfully imprisoned. Thus began practices that would ultimately infect and contaminate virtually all aspects of the war on terror. Thanks to the research of Alfred W. McCoy, who has studied the history of U.S. government torture and the CIA's application of it from the early days of the Cold War, its use was not unknown in American clandestine operations. In collaboration with the British, the CIA invented new forms of mental torture that relied on inducing terror, which often did irreversible psychological damage, in addition to such techniques as waterboarding, or what our Latin American military allies call the submarino. It involves being held underwater until you think you will die. There was, however, great nervousness about using these techniques, because laws and international treaties passed and signed during the middle and late years of the Cold War had clearly made torture a crime. Bush and Rumsfeld ordered these restraints removed, and all the old methods were soon back in use in Afghanistan, Iraq, Cuba, and at secret CIA prisons around the world. Bush's responsibility for legalizing torture came in two key decisions. The first was his September 17, 2001, Memorandum of Agreement, or Finding, jargon for a presidential directive authorizing a particular CIA covert operation. This vastly expanded the CIA's activities worldwide, including its payments to the Northern Alliance warlords in Afghanistan to resume the civil war against the Taliban with American air support. Bush also authorized the global pursuit of al-Qaeda, permitting the CIA to conduct covert operations in some 80 countries without having to come back for formal approval for each specific operation. And, most important, removed all constraints and safeguards over the CIA's already existing program of extraordinary rendition.